Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Will we ever come together? Will we ever be brought together as a country, as the hatred in the land is palpable? Relatives can't talk to relatives. I call it the Trump politics, the phenomenon of Trump politics. My aunts, my sister, I mean, your families. But I will say this, if there's anything that can bring the country together and make them not talk about politics and not talk as much about President Trump would be the economy. And your economy, and I see in the news the Commerce Department is saying that we had 3% growth. Boy, that's exciting for talk radio. 3% growth from April to June. Now, looking back to the previous 8 years, it doesn't appear we ever got to 3% growth for a whole quarter. Now, granted, they've revised the second quarter numbers. That April to June period, according to CNBC, went to 3.3. We are from 2.6 the whole quarter before. And that's big news, because if you have growing economies, then people are better off and the tension goes down. So then the hysterical fringes left and right are less impactful on the rest of us who just want to live our lives. The president today giving a major address, not on the flood, not on the hurricane, as we've seen, you know, 24-hour coverage, and my heart goes out to the people who have helped each other down in Texas. But I do a 2 minutes with Mitch on that. I said, well, let's talk about the hurricane. The hurricane's in the news. And usually when I do a 2 minutes with Mitch on Madison.com, there has to be some controversy involved to get a lot of hits. And you can measure the hits, obviously, digitally. But if you say something positive, you don't get as many hits. So, and I get something on the CrossFit Games, the battle between fat and fit. I got 1,000 hits because I talked about the reason they do the CrossFit Games. It's just so they can take their shirts off in public, which is the way we feel about it. If we can't take our shirts off in public, at least not without the lights off. And then, so I do something the hurricane. Oh, it's great to see the photos and the video and the cops holding the two kids. Excuse me, I couldn't help it. You know, under their arms and strangers helping strangers, and that's who we are as a country. I did kind of a feel-good commentary, and I hit less than 100 hits.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to hear it. It's too positive. Somebody's got to, okay, it's like 3,000 cars went by the light at Verona Road and Raymond Road, and nobody had a crash. No one's going to tune into that story. One car blew up and caught on fire, killing three. Now we're going to watch. All right, you know, people say, why can't you be positive in the news? Why can't you be positive on talk radio? Well, all right, here's one story. An executive at Oscar Mayer, or actually they're gone now, I'll say Rayovac.
Yeah.
Vice president, he makes $300,000 a year as an executive vice president. His wife works for the Red Cross, and his two children are going to be ministers, and they give a lot of money to charity. Who's going to watch that story?
That's the story.
Nobody's going to watch that. Now, if I say the vice president is having an affair with his secretary and she's pregnant and one of his adult sons is a drug dealer, was just busted on Park Street, and his daughter is turning tricks in L.A.
Big deal.
Now, which story is going to get more hits? So today, my question is, we start the show, what's going to bring us together? Now, I hate to say this, but people got angry, and people who voted twice for Obama voted for Donald Trump. Does that make them Nazis because they voted for Obama twice? It's because their economy wasn't very good. They weren't getting ahead. So with 3% growth, that's a big story. And here's Donald Trump today unveiling his plan for tax cuts. He wanted to get the corporate rate to 15%, down from 35%. That's radical reform. Who's to say what will happen in Congress? But here is the Presidente.
We want to bring back trillions of dollars in wealth that's parked overseas. Because of our high tax rate and horrible, outdated bureaucratic rules, large companies that do business overseas will often park their profits offshore to avoid paying a high United States tax if the money is brought back home. So they leave the money over there. The amount of money we're talking about is anywhere from $3 to $5 trillion. Can you believe that? By making it less punitive for companies to bring back this money, and by making the process far less bureaucratic and difficult, we can return trillions and trillions of dollars to our economy and spur billions of dollars in new investments in our struggling communities and throughout our nation. It's time to invest in our country, to rebuild our communities, and to hire our great American workers.
There is the president in Missouri, not the hurricanes. You're going to have the hurricane on Saturday. By the way, will that in fact grow the economy? Jed Sanborn, certified public accountant and former member of the Madison City Council. Well, come on. There's a fundamental disagreement in this country about what generates growth. And there's this idea we don't want to give the rich any breaks, but the rich also leave the country and wire their money offshore. And I just had Eric Hovde on my show last week, and he talked about it. You know, it's easy for him to wire all this money to Canada if he wants. He could avoid the taxes. Joining me now is Jed Sanborn, certified public accountant. I just played the cut on Donald Trump's tax reform speech today in Missouri. Hello, Mr. Sanborn.
Hi, Mitch. How are you?
I'm okay, and I'm just wondering at the top, if we can ever come together as a country. We're very divided right now. Families are ripped apart and can't even talk about politics with your families and so forth. But if one thing would make us talk less about politics or Donald Trump, it'd be if the economy grows. Do you think that's a good premise?
Absolutely.
And so he said, well, let's bring the corporate rate from 35 to 15%. That'd be a radical reform.
Yes, it'd be fantastic, I believe.
So what do you think would happen if we did that?
Well, first of all, too, in the whole topic of people coming together, I mean, Barack Obama said multiple times during his two campaigns, and even during the State of the Union, how much he supported cutting the corporate tax rate. Now, whether he meant that or not, I'll leave to someone else. But what I think would happen is it would, like all tax cuts, I believe, provide an incentive to produce and to earn. When companies look at whether they want to take a risk on a new facility, a new product, you know, what have you, you know, there are accountants out there that factor in tax rates, and they're looking at their return on investment for the risk they have to take. And when your tax rate is lower, your return on investment is higher. Not to mention, we compete globally with companies paying taxes in their own countries. With our own tax rate lower, we're more competitive.
Yeah, I mean, why is that such a hard thing to say? Okay, we've got $3 to $5 trillion of capital overseas, and we want to try to bring a lot of that back. Why is that such a bad thing? I don't understand why that's considered to be. I mean, do people on the left just not agree that the money is offshore?
No, I think there's a lot of that sort of class envy, class, you know, resentment stirring going on. In other words, they like to paint the picture that corporate taxes equals taxes on the rich. I think that's false. There might be a little truth to that, but I think ultimately most corporate taxes are borne by a combination of the shareholders and the customers. And shareholders are everyone out there who has a 401k or an IRA is a shareholder in a corporation, almost certainly. And then, of course, yeah, we're all customers of these corporations, so we pay more through the corporate tax.
That's right. And also, and I brought this clip out because I like to play it, but it wasn't always the case where we were so divided on this question, because here's JFK with David Brinkley back in 1963, pushing for a tax cut that Barry Goldwater opposed, and Congressman Bob Dole of Kansas at the time opposed, and Harry Truman opposed, and here it is.
Harry Truman was out for his walk this morning, and he said he did not think we should have a tax cut until we get the budget balanced. And the other day, Senator Humphrey was saying in the Senate that what the American people think is true is very often more important than what actually is true. What, in view of all that, what do you think about cutting taxes while the budget is still in deficit?
The reason the government's in deficit is because you've got more than 4 million people unemployed. And because the last 5 years, you've had rather a sluggish growth, much slower than any other Western country. I'm in favor of a tax cut because I'm concerned that if we don't get the tax cut, that we're going to have an increase in unemployment and that we may move into a period of economic downturn. We had a recession in 58, recession in 1960. We've done pretty well since then, but we still have over 4 million unemployed. And I think this tax cut can give the stimulus to our economy over the next 2 or 3 years. I think it will provide for greater national wealth. I think it will reduce unemployment. I think it will strengthen our gold position. So I think that the proposal we've made is responsible and in the best interest of the country.
And so he's arguing the same thing that President Trump argued for today. You know, two different parties.
As well as Ronald Reagan, of course.
Well, that's right. Ronald Reagan did the same thing, and people argue about it. But, I mean, I guess the point is, whatever you do, the goal should be to grow the economy and to grow the amount of revenue that comes in. You can argue about how to spend it. But there ought to be some empirical data on that that stands above partisanship. I mean, there ought to be just some facts about that itself, that, you know, you can encourage the rich to behave in a certain way. Or not, right?
And I think there is empirical data. The problem is, and I can cite some, the problem is, though, it's not like a mathematical proof. In other words, there's always just enough sort of wiggle room or uncertainty that people on the left, people that don't like just the whole idea of cutting taxes for anyone, can sort of hang on to and say, no, that's not why the economy grew. But if you look at the tax cuts after JFK, the tax cuts after Ronald Reagan and the economy, even after Clinton, which we did have a slight increase in the top marginal rate, but we had a big cut in the capital gains rate, and we saw an explosion of capital gains tax revenue under Bill Clinton, and then we also saw great economic growth. I would add to that then, too, look at the Congressional Budget Office. Whenever they try to score a tax cut or a tax increases never bring in the revenue they say it will, and tax cuts never result in quite the loss of revenue. That's because there is clearly a dynamic aspect that it helps the economy.
I know, and that's going to drive for some people. I want to come back, though, because it looks like, I mean, for us to really ease some of the tensions, we need a lot of economic activity and growth, and people need to be happier over a period of time. I want to speculate about what it's going to take. And we'll come back. Jed Sanborn on the line, your calls. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live. We'll be back.
At Troy Research, we understand that success is determined by your customers. To realize the greatest success possible, you need to understand what they want and why. Your customers have opinions to share with you. As researchers, our assignment is to gather those opinions, illuminate the issues, and shed the light of understanding on decision-making. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research at 608-271-8884 or email jlittle@troyresearch.com.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bob Abella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bob Abella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com.
This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the Major League record for the longest hitting streak at 56 games. Buck's Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Buck's Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com, BucksPizzaMadison.com.
As life celebrations bring people together, you'll be comforted knowing we have community rooms available for those who wish to serve food and refreshments before, during, or after your gathering. This is Pete Gunderson. We're here to assist with every detail. Learn more at GundersonFH.com. Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Your calls, too. We're talking about economic growth at 3%, which Jed Zenborn may know this because he follows this pretty closely as a certified public accountant. Number to call, 210-1667, 210-1667. Now, in the 32 quarters under President Obama, I'm not sure we had 3% growth for an entire quarter. I think we might have reached it once during a quarter in 2016. I'm not sure exactly. You might know. But
I think that's true. I don't think that after all the final revisions are done, any quarter under Obama ever achieved 3% growth.
Not a whole quarter, no. Which
yeah,
apparently...
the average since World War II has been greater than 3.
That's true. And so the president with his lack of traditional political skills on some very important socially hot topic events, you know, could maybe be mollified with his voters, certainly, if the economy grows at 3% or beyond. Now, the people that hate him and never voted for him may not ever change, right? But, I mean, he could restore his voters, potentially, with a growing economy, don't you think?
Well, it seems like the performance of the economy always is a big factor in elections, right? I mean, a president running for re-election on a strong economy, when's the last time a president in that situation lost, right? Almost
right.
Never, if ever.
So if you have people in the press trying to find a quote by Joe Arpaio about the Klan in 2007, chances are that's not going to swing the election if we have 4% growth.
I mean, I think that's all built in, right? If you want to believe that Donald Trump's a racist, you know, you're probably going to believe that no matter what. I mean, some of us are on the fence looking for a little stronger evidence. But, yeah.
Right, but the way, and I would have written his news conference speeches differently on Charlottesville, but my point is people who believe that about Trump as being a Nazi will never change, but, you know, he did do a couple of different versions of his statements. So you have 4% growth or 3.5% growth. Those wavering Republicans might hold their nose and vote for him again, is my point.
I think you're right. I mean, especially if we see the some direct policy that you can point to, like a corporate tax cut or even individual tax cuts, the deregulation we're seeing. Now, if he's going to go down the road, this protectionist road, and blow up NAFTA and supposedly he's telling his advisors, I want to see some tariffs.
I want tariffs. I want them, man. Yeah.
Now that stuff isn't going to help him, in my view.
I know you're not into that whole thing. You're definitely a globalist. The globalist Sanborn on the line here, along with Jeff Flake of Arizona.
I'm a free trader, for sure.
You would have been physically hit at that rally in Phoenix, probably. Who knows? Nah, just keep to yourself. You'll be fine.
Okay.
No, but I think that, you know, that's the whole thing. You know, the headline starting the show, which I think also was, can we come together? Now, I don't know if your friends you deal with, even the ones you disagree with, you do it in a civil way. But, I mean, I don't know if you know this, but my family, a lot of families are just ripped apart. And they see the president as, you know, somebody wearing a brown shirt and black boots.
I see that in my among friends. I mean, I see that in my own family. I as you know, even though I voted for Trump and don't regret that, I am very critical of him. I'm not going to defend things that he does that I think are either stupid or wrong or, you know, just ill-advised politically or morally. So I'm not going to cover, I'm not going to whitewash that.
You're
going to
sugarcoat. No sugarcoating from you.
No.
Well, here's the way I look. You know, Charlie Sykes and other people that are never Trumpers and locally Rick Berg and others, for them it's about him being a vulgar man and George Will a moron and a cartoon character and should never be there, unfit, Charles Krauthammer unfit, versus the other group in the conservative side, just for them it's about defeating the left, putting a conservative on the court, getting legislation passed. So, you know, you read Dennis Prager or Victor Davis Hanson, their goal is to defeat the left, whereas the goal of the other side is to get rid of a guy who's vulgar.
I agree. I guess I would consider my position somewhere wedged in between those two, where I am glad that Trump is president for the policy and the Supreme Court appointment, et cetera. But I also like him the way he doesn't. I like the fact that he doesn't cower like a lot of Republicans in Washington do, which does irritate me. But I want him to do it in a smart way. And you can do good things and then at the same time do things that are stupid and are undermining your efforts. And those are the things that I am critical of and frustrate me.
Well, what his style, too. I mean, where if he bullies people, like he's bullying people in New York over a real estate block, I mean, that's not going to work in Washington because the senators don't work for him, and they can tell him to screw you. I mean, you're not going to roll people unless you have real leverage. You can't roll John McCain. He's going to retire. He's got brain cancer. It's not going to work. And other people who may feel safe aren't going to be rolled. So maybe that's part of it. He just doesn't understand how.
Well, that's a good example of just being dumb. Why are you picking fights publicly with your fellow Republicans? You can be irritated. You can even be critical publicly, I think, as a Republican president. If you want to be publicly critical of Republicans in the House and Senate, I'm okay with that. But when they're in your own party and you do need their help, why can't you do it in a more constructive way? You know, you don't have to be, it's just he's so stream of consciousness with his tweets.
Yeah, right. Well, so the style thing is what holds him back with the population of never Trumpers. And I even winced the way he handled Charlottesville because I'm a trained hack from a long time back. And I knew exactly what would ignite the press if you don't say certain things. But again, that's kind of an inside baseball thing. I don't know how the middle of the country reacts versus the coastal elite media types of the country. So, you know, it's all kind of in the air. But, you know, it's been, this whole experience has ripped us apart. Let's face it. We're kind of ripped apart.
Well, there's a lot of things ripping us apart, I think, that have nothing to do with Donald Trump as well. It's just the racial animus that's being stirred by people on the far left and this Antifa stuff. I think there's a lot of things going on that aren't all Donald Trump's fault.
Yeah, and of course, what Trump did was he focused on the fight in Charlottesville. He didn't focus on the historical context, and that's where people were split. Because
that's a good example of where, like, the people that cheer on Donald Trump, I think, need to think a little more. Donald Trump had a great opportunity. In other words, they like it that Donald Trump isn't going to be apologetic and beg, please believe we're not racist kind of attitude that a lot of Republicans have. But the problem is, if he had come out right away being critical of the clearly racist groups, then you can shift
then
the conversation.
Then you go to right.
Look what you media are trying to do. You're trying to paint all us Republicans as this. But when you don't do it that way, you screw it up.
Well, you pour gasoline in the fire, and of course the 24/7 hate Trump media never stops. I mean, it's almost like they have rabies foam coming out of their mouths, like on CNN and MSNBC, 24/7.
I mean, count me as one of those that loves it when he goes after them, but I just want him to do it well.
Well,
you know, not this clumsy, foolish way that he often does.
How about what he said when they accused him of doing the Arpaio pardon, on Friday night because he wanted to do it under the radar. He goes, no, I thought the ratings would be higher because of the hurricane. it's a hurricane.
And at some point, even those of us that are rooting for Donald Trump to do well, we've got to admit the guy's he's not a good guy. I mean, he's kind of a scumbag, and that's part of what irritates, I think, the real Trump fans, that somebody like me might say that, even though I'm rooting for him to be successful as a president. But I can't ignore some of these character flaws that he has.
You mean grabbing the crotches and bragging about it and that kind of thing? You know, you can't see past that.
That's one of about 100 things. Yeah.
One of 100 things. These are a few of a... No. Well, you know, my sister and aunts, I mean, they really can't get past the crotch stuff. You know, it's going to be embedded in their mind for a long time.
That's fine. I understand that. But
now, for the record...
My latest complaint is... Even if you notice that with all this, the hurricane stuff, everything he says is always, this is the biggest thing.
This is the greatest
response government's ever had because of me.
Look at the crowds the turnout, man, the turnout.
It's the most rain ever, and we handled it the best ever. You know, everything's got to be framed in that way.
And we'll congratulate each other after it's all over,
Exactly.
Well, today he didn't scream, at least, in his tax talk. He was a little more subdued. And there was Ivanka in the crowd to stand up for child care credits. I mean, we care about child care. You know what I say to people? Regardless of their position on it, just enjoy the show. I mean, it is a show, isn't it? I mean, come on. It's a show. I know they're important issues.
It's a very consequential show. I mean, this is real business of the direction of our country, or for our children, grandchildren. I can't be quite as flippant about it.
Well, I can't be because I have to fill 2 hours. So,
But that's part of the reason why I support him, and still am glad he's president, not Hillary Clinton, because I'm thinking about those concrete policy questions and not just what a jackass he is.
There you have it from Jed Sanborn, the CPA, who wants to focus on... Hey, I hope we have another, 8 quarters in a row, 3% plus, and then they're all going to go buy new golf clubs. Is that what's going to happen?
That would be awesome.
Go for a steak?
How about 4 or 5%?
4 or 5%?
Why not? Why shoot just for 3?
Well, then then liberals and conservatives could share some cappuccino and have a bagel together.
Let's hope so.
All right, well, have fun, Jed. I appreciate the talk.
Thank you, Mitch.
And Glenn Grothman. Hey, don't get excited, folks. He actually was on WIBA yesterday and talked about how he doesn't want to overhaul Obamacare. He doesn't think truck drivers should play a lower tax rate than the rich. You'll be surprised when we come back. Glenn Grothman in a moment on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Two Bridges was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo is a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers, Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
Mitch Hank for Atterbury Cameron Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case, whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Haig have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial. It's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hank Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hank Show.
And we're back, and on the phone, Congressman Glenn Grothman of West Bend. Although, I don't think, is West Bend in your district, Congressman?
No, it's now Congressman Glenn Grothman from Glen Beulah, Wisconsin.
Oh, Glen Beulah.
I know where Glen Beulah is. Glen Beulah is kind of near the old Wade House for those people who are historic sites.
So you had to move then, obviously, to Glen Beulah.
Although we're closer to the Kettle Marine Prison. There's another land on the mark near where.
Just embezzle some money from the the House Post Office or something, or House Bank, and you'll be right there. No.
Right.
Glenn Grothman wouldn't do that. Oh, no. But I think a lot of people, I had you on WIBA yesterday, and some people were surprised. You know, you're seen as this conservative figure, but yet you don't necessarily think that Obamacare should all be thrown away and that people should lose. Go ahead and explain.
Well, I do think that we have some obligation to take care of some people, and that's just a reality. And we're going to have to compromise to get something done. I guess I'd say Obamacare has to be thrown away, but I think we're going to have to put something in there for some people. I don't think the American public wants, you know, your average 55-year-old to get no subsidy at all and wind up with no insurance.
Yeah, so I think Ron Johnson has sounded more conservative on that because he says the universal coverage or the guaranteeing pre-existing conditions is driving up the cost. You sound like you're not willing to throw people under the bus.
Well, I think what Ron means is you've got to find up an alternative for people with pre-existing conditions. You've got to find a high-risk pool or something other. Because one of the reasons Obamacare is falling apart is because insurance companies can't cover people who only get insurance once they're sick. Okay, I mean, obviously any insurance company, whether it's auto insurance, homeowners insurance, whatever, to stay in business, they've got to have some people who never make claims. And if you have people who are healthy, don't buy insurance, and then they find out they have some serious condition and call their insurance agent, well, pretty soon that insurance company will go under. So you need a fallback position for people with pre-existing conditions, usually something like a high-risk pool like they used to have in the state of Wisconsin.
Right, which could be very expensive for some people, as I knew people on that, and their premium was high. But that's part of the deal. Here's my attitude. If you have a job where you have just any kind of a decent job, you can afford some sort of insurance, whether you're subsidized or not. But if you're not working for somebody else and you're trying to start a business, and I mean, you can be scrambling out there and not have the money right away for premiums. You still don't have it.
That could be. Right. I think the assembly plan at least had some tax credits, and hopefully even with some tax credits, if you open it up for insurance companies, don't have a lot of rules about mandates and that sort of thing, they will be able to give some insurance for a lower amount of money.
Yeah, it's a certain category that you're kind of temporarily out of luck, and so you have to. You know, if you're going to do a business, you got to get it rolling and turn the corner, and then you're fine. But until you do, you're kind of in no man's land. Whereas most people work for employers or have group insurance, they don't worry about it, you know. And that's what happens. There's kind of a disconnect. If you're very poor, you're probably in good shape on Medicaid or whatever the case, Badger care.
Exactly. And if you're just a little bit poor, you can still get Medicaid. And sometimes that's a little bit of the problem because some of those people are abusing the system.
I think one of the problems is nobody wants to give up cable to pay the $200 or $300 a month or whatever they might pay. Anyway, so, hey, the government's going to be shutting down. We'll get to your race in a minute because you got an interesting race, but the government shuts down in a month if they can't get your colleagues don't get their act together, which would, according to some economists, crash the economy. So are you going to be able to raise the debt ceiling?
I will raise the debt ceiling. I'll tell you what makes me mad, though, Mitch. You're right. We have to raise the debt ceiling to prevent a financial crisis. But you would think that in the year in which you are supposed to raise the debt ceiling, there'll be a little bit more conservatism on the part of Republicans when it comes to spending money. And I don't see it. We might, by the time this whole thing is done and we work our budget through the Senate, I wouldn't be surprised if this is like the biggest spending year since Obama's first year as a percentage increase. And that's very frustrating what's going on in Washington. I mean, these people don't want to cut much of anything. They want big increases for military spending. And I'm scared to death when I come back, they're going to want a boatload of money for Houston and they aren't going to want to cut anything else.
Are you going to vote against money for Houston, Congressman? I mean, that would really be a tough vote. I mean, especially with the video 24/7 of people in boats.
Right. The frustrating thing is, if you're responsible and you're going to put 10 or however many billion dollars they're going to want to put at Houston, and everybody tells me when they threw that money at New Orleans, they wasted a lot of that money. You're supposed to spend a little bit less somewhere else. You'd like a commitment out of leadership that if we're voting for money for Houston, you know, something else is going down.
Oh, I see. Well, good luck with that, by the way. I mean, is anything real ever cut? Has anybody ever really cut anything?
There are mild cuts in the past. There are mild cuts in this budget to non-defense spending, but they're so mild. Right.
Yeah, it's on the margins.
Right.
I mean, the big stuff, you know, like Medicare and Social Security, I know those are user fees that, you know, people pay as you go and so forth, but they still raid the money. Right. And I mean, and
they won't cut that, but they will cut some programs. I notice they're giving a 25% cut to attorneys for the poor.
Really?
Legal aid.
Attorneys for the poor?
They might cut that. We'll see.
God,
by the time the Senate's done with it, I don't know, though.
Oh, egads. You know, good luck with that. But I remember when Romney ran against Obama, the only thing he wanted to cut was Big Bird on public television. And Trump, I don't think he wanted to cut anything in his race.
Trump does want to have significant cuts. He wants a 6 or 7% cut.
Oh, across the board.
In non-defense discretionary. Yeah. The problem is Congress won't go along with him.
Well, you know, we have the whole health care thing, and we have a $20 trillion debt, and we were going to cut $300 billion, or at least from the rate of growth of Medicaid spending, and people were going to die. Everybody said, well, not everybody, but Senator Heller, Senator Murkowski, people are going to die. I don't want people to lose their Medicaid, so nothing was done. You know, I mean, Medicaid.
Right. Well,
go ahead.
Yeah, and part of the problem with Medicaid, what they should be doing is they should have people, if they have any money at all, pay something for it. I mean, if you talk to people in the medical community, if they're on, it's Badger Care in this state. Medicaid is the kind of the generic term for statewide. You have deductibles. You don't have co-pays or very little. And if you have very little, you have a situation in which people on the government are going to the hospital or going to the emergency room or going to make doctor appointments when people not on the government say can't afford it. Many people, you know, if you've got insurance through your employer, you presumably have a deductible right now. If you're buying your own insurance, you got a deductible. If you're on the government, could be no deductible, in which case, one more time, people on the government are not even, but they're better off than people not on the government. That's not right.
Well, no, and the thing of it is, if you're in the private sector and your deductible is $5,000 before you can use your insurance, I mean, you have insurance, but you really can't go to the doctor. I mean,
right. I met with a group today.
Oh, yeah.
They thought, I mean, it was a company. I'm always touring companies. They had, I don't want people to be able to pick it up, but they had under 100 employees, but I'll say the dozens of employees. They had $5,000 deductible. They only had one employee use the insurance last year. Right.
Right.
That's
right.
What goes on.
Well, because you're paying in cash. You might as well not have insurance. I mean, because, you know, if you have something catastrophic at that point, I mean, what are you going to do? I'm curious about the two. If you have a heart attack or a stroke and you go in without insurance, are they going to say you can't come to the hospital? I mean, how does this work?
No, they got to take you. They got to take you. That's one of the reasons why I think illegal immigrants drive up the cost of insurance.
Okay, I had a stroke.
They can't turn you down.
Bring me in. Do you have insurance? No. They're not going to say, well, go back in the street where you belong, and you're muttering, you know, with your stroke
speech. You're exactly right. That's one of the reasons why everybody in America gets top-flight medical care. If you have no insurance, you shove in the emergency room, they can't kick you out.
Right, so really, then, you're screwed if you don't have insurance and you want to go for... But then again, you know, during my period of paying doctor visits in cash, they never said I couldn't see my doctor. So what does that mean? You can't see the doctor? I've never been told once you can't see the doctor, even if I had or had no insurance because of a current or temporary small business thing. They never said you can't come in here without insurance. And that was at the doctor's office. That wasn't at the ER. So I'm just curious, who can't go to the doctor without insurance?
I think a lot of doctors would say you can't come in here without insurance. In the emergency room, if you're connected with...
Yeah, I know you have to there, but I guess doctors can say, no, we can't see you, right? I mean, it's part of the deal. I guess you can't make them.
Right.
Well, there you have it. Now, I want to talk about your race, because Herb Kohl's, what is his nephew?
His nephew is running. It's kind of scary. The guy is, he's selling his house in Maryland for $5 million, and he's coming back running against... fighting Glenn Grossman, and it's a little bit scary. I've never been involved in a race that is that high spending.
Where
he was a lobbyist in Washington for a group called J Street, which, you know, a lot of very wealthy givers from New York, from California, from Florida give. So he knows a lot of very wealthy, very liberal people like himself.
Yes,
and there are a lot of super wealthy people can be awfully, awfully liberal. The Bernie Sanders crowd. And they're going to be giving him money from all over the country. So in addition to being rich in his own right, in addition to having a very wealthy dad and uncle, he's got connections with wealthy rich around the country.
Lee Dreyfus.
I've got a problem.
So you're running against a, quote, limousine liberal, Congressman Grossman.
I don't know if he drives
wine and cheese
set. He's got a $5 million house.
Well, that was what former Governor Dreyfus would say, limousine liberal or wine and cheese set liberal. Or as Odie Fish, the former Republican chairman, said, when you have no money, you vote Democrat. When you get some money, you vote Republican. When you have a lot of money, you can afford to vote Democrat again. And that's kind of what's going on there with your opponent.
Right, I think particularly people who you know, came out with a lot their whole life, they're kind of isolated from reality by, you know, that amount of money.
Well, a $5 million house, I mean, come on.
Right. Who owns a $5 million? Nobody. No. I've never known anybody like that in my life.
We'll come back. You're still big on the social issues. I mean, that's kind of what makes you a conservative, right? I mean, you're not
No, I'm very fiscally conservative. I think I'm about fighting as much as anybody up there to hold the line on spending.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
So I'm conservative on that.
Yeah, you are on that. Yeah. I think conservatives in primaries care more about the social stuff, though. Because when John McCain was running against Bush, Bush was a bigger spender than McCain had been more of a fiscal hawk. But conservatives cared more about global warming and McCain Feingold and the Anwar, you know, and so that's why they didn't like McCain, because he was a fiscal hawk, didn't nobody cared. We'll come back. Glenn Drothman, our guest, your calls as well. The Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is a thing that you want to think of. It should be at least the third thing that pops into your mind. MadisonComedy.com is where you can go to find a complete schedule. Any comics that you could think of, we've had.
For a list of upcoming Comedy Club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
Working with Tim was a breath of fresh air. He was very professional. He did his homework. He priced the house where it needed to be priced to sell.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker's Success, 698-7653.
Tim is very fun to work with. He's got a great sense of humor and seemed very upbeat and positive every time I spoke to him.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience, working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art. The art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Talking to Congressman Glenn Grothman. Congressman, there's a lot of hate in the country, a lot of division in the country, and you've always been a part of that. You know, you lived through Act 10 and so forth, and, you know, Brett Halsey had to let you through the door at one point. I mean, the mobs were going for you. Did you fear for your life during Act 10, Congressman?
No, I always thought the crowd was deep down inside pretty nice. The number of really bad people we had, I can count on one hand, and it might have been the same guy several times, actually. I always felt, even though the liberals objected to it, I felt that the really bad people were probably not even from this state anyway. You know, there were cars here from, you know, up from Illinois, over from Michigan. And the few people I met who really wanted to fight, there were a couple of them were like, you know, go ahead, hit me.
Really?
Those types I always felt were, and like I said, there were less than five of those. I always felt, maybe wrongly, that they were probably from another state anyway.
Well, we just hear that we went to 3% growth from April to June. They just readjusted the GDP ratings, and as I understand it, we didn't get to 3% growth for an entire quarter under President Obama. So, if this sustained, it would be a meaningful move up. And would do you think that could ease some of the tension, some of the hate out there?
I think the hate is caused by kind of cultural issues and people telling people they ought to be hateful. We just had a president who had Al Sharpton in the White House over 80 times. I mean, think about that. Who in the world would invite Al Sharpton to the White House unless you kind of quietly wanted to promote people who incite hatred and that sort of thing? And Donald Trump inherited that. And because Donald Trump doesn't back off on things, I think it enrages people even more. I mean, you got a kind of a, if you have a Bush Republican who kind of, I don't know what they stand for, you know, it's hard to get really mad at them. But,
so the hate was there already, and you're saying it was just, you know, it's kind of like it's inflamed an ongoing situation.
Well, yeah, you have these in people who are inspired to hate. You're promoting people who are kind of hateful people. So, of course, when an election doesn't go their way, they're going to go off the rails.
Well, we have General Mattis. Here's a quick bite from General. Well, no, let's not play that too long. How about General? No, Rex Tillerson was on Fox News Sunday, and Chris Wallace said, well, you know, the UN condemned President Trump for his handling of the Charlottesville thing. And here's that exchange. Very interesting.
Finally, and I've got a little over a minute left, the controversy over the racial protests in Charlottesville and the president's response to it has become an international issue. A UN committee this week criticized the Trump administration for, quote, its failure at the highest political level to unequivocally reject and condemn the racist, violent events and demonstrations. And here was the president in Phoenix this week, talking more about the media than he was about the neo-Nazis and the Klan. Here he is.
The only people giving a platform to these hate groups is the media itself and the fake news.
Does that make it harder for you to push American values around the world when some foreign leaders question the president's values?
Chris, we express America's values from the State Department. We represent the American people. We represent America's values, our commitment to freedom, our commitment to equal treatment of people the world over, and that message has never changed.
And when the president gets into the kind of controversy he does and the UN committee responds the way it does, it seems to say they begin to doubt whether we're living those values.
I don't believe anyone doubts the American people's values or the commitment of the American government or the government's agencies to advancing those values and defending those values.
And the president's values?
The president speaks for himself, Chris.
All right. Yes, Congressman. It went a little longer than I thought. I apologize. But in the end, Tillerson said the president speaks for himself. So, I mean, does that sound like somebody's trying to distance himself from the president? Congressman, we lose Congressman Grothman. A little phone we had a little phone connection problem. I think he was calling out during that interview, which tells me he couldn't hear it. Go ahead, Congressman.
Can you hear me? I did not hear the whole interview. I heard what Donald Trump said, but I didn't hear the gist.
Oh well, he asked Tillerson. The UN had condemned a UN committee had condemned Donald Trump on the Charlottesville thing, and he said, "Does that make people question our values?" And Tillerson said, "The president speaks for himself, Chris." After he had said that I condemned things and I talked about our values, so it sounded like, and it's being couched by the press as Tillerson distancing himself from President Trump.
The United Nations has a strong anti-American bias. That's one of the reasons people don't like the United Nations. We now have an unabashedly pro-American president, so they're not going to like Donald Trump. Donald Trump isn't all in on these international agencies. He didn't want to get involved in this environmental thing that was probably would have set standards that one could describe as anti-American. So it's not surprised.
No, but I mean, Tillerson was saying President Trump speaks for himself. He wasn't saying. Yeah, go ahead.
I think President Trump spoke on the Monday following the event, was very clear where he stood. I think President Trump, to a degree, doesn't suffer fools gladly. And, maybe the irritation.
Well, no, that's all well and good. It's just the issue is Tillerson and Mattis were distancing themselves with various constituencies over the weekend. And to that, you say what?
I'll assume that I don't know what's going on in their mind. I'll assume they didn't think through their thoughts enough, or they were relying on an interpretation of what President Trump said rather than what President Trump said.
I see. Well, feelings are running high, though, which I'm sure they always have, but it seems like it's really running high now. But I think...
I want to say something else on that. Yeah. You know, people get all excited about Trump saying this thing or that thing. I think almost unanimously people feel that Trump is tweeting too much, and I've talked to Trump personally about him tweeting too much.
Yeah.
That being said, when I run around my district, if I'm at a county fair, if it's a festival for the local fire department, I talk to tons of people. Nobody talks about Charlottesville, literally. Maybe one or two people in weeks. I mean, that's something that the media feels is something that has to be commented on, and the average guy doesn't care.
Right. More
they really
of an elite
care.
Media thing, obviously. Yeah.
Exactly.
Well,
exactly.
Well, it's sort of like Nixon. I mean, people on my Little League team, the parents loved Nixon until the very, very last weekend. You know, I mean, they didn't think he was going to leave until he left. I mean, nothing's really changed, you know, in terms of the middle America or the average American citizen, right?
I mean, Trump isn't perfect. He should maybe measure his comments more. But I think, by and large, the people like Trump are saying, you know, why must Trump comment on a demonstration about removing statues?
I know what you're saying.
They say, who cares? You know, I care about health care. I care about taxes.
Jobs, the wages.
I don't care about this. Why is the press asking him to get involved with this? I mean, this guy who, you know, was arrested, he'll probably go to prison for the rest of his life, and as he should, but otherwise, right.
Congressman Grothman, you've got this big race. You better go raise some money. Do you want to put your website out there?
GlennGrothman.com. Remember, friends, it's two N's on Glenn.
On Glenn, two N's. Yeah, okay.
Yes,
gotcha.
GlennGrothman13letters.com. And I am going up against a guy who is going to, I think, outspend me at least 2-1. Hopefully not, but I think he will. I've never been a big fundraiser in the past. So if you want to keep having me introduced as Congressman Glenn Grothman, please help out. GlennGrothman.com.
Well, if you get some money from Dane County listeners on Facebook, I would be very shocked. But, hey, it could happen. What can I say?
Well, you appeal to the more nuanced listener, right?
The moderate voices. Hey, you sound like a populist on healthcare to me, and even those bankers getting those lower rates, you're not for that either. So there you have it. Glenn Grothman.
Well, I'm more moderate. I'm looking out on the taxes for the middle class. I think the Republican plan out there is a little bit tilted too much to people who live off their investments. That is where I have been more outspoken.
How about that? There's your populist right there, Glenn Grothman.
There it is. Just like Donald Trump, by the way, who's also disappointed in the Republican plan.
All right, man. We'll talk to you soon, Congressman. Thank you very much. Hey, thank you. And what's the deal with these? What's going to happen with sanctuary cities? More fighting in the courts over it. I want a sanctuary. Is Madison? I know we're not officially one, but we kind of are in practice. But somehow I'm still stopped, and they take my driver's license, and they run a check. What's going on? Next on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com and Facebook Live.